I was ordained in the city of Glasgow where I came from, and after that I returned to our priory in Oxford to a study house. Like most religious priests, most of the masses I say in the house, in the order in which I live, are celebrated masses. So it was about a week before I came to preside at the first mass on my own, being one priest. This was 8 o'clock mass on the Sunday. There was no sacristan, so I had to set up the church myself, and very few people about. So that was fine. Unfortunately, what I didn't know is that I had to open the gates of the priory which led into the church. I opened the doors of the church, but not the gate. The gate used to be opened by a lay brother, but due to age he'd stopped doing that a few weeks before. So I walked on to the sanctuary. There was no one there. Now, according to the legend, or to the mythology of the English province to which I belong, I reached the Eucharistic prayer before I noticed. That's not true. That did not happen. I am prepared to admit that I was well into the penitential rite before I noticed that there was no one in the church. I thought the responses were a bit quiet. That's because there was no one there. It's not a bad way to start life as a public priest presiding at Mass, to walk onto the sanctuary and have no one there. It's not a bad way to consider the mystery of the fact that there is no guarantee that there will be people coming to share. There's no reason to think that the churches will never be empty. And yet they're always full. It's a great mystery, a much greater mystery, why people come. It's very strange doing supplies in small, rather desolate looking churches. Still there are people. Doesn't matter where you go, there are always people coming to share in the Eucharist. And it raises the question of why they really come. Most people, when asked, will give all sorts of answers. They tend to give answers which downplay their faith, their keenness, at least they do in Britain. They give rather banal answers. I come because it's what I do, or because I like the music, or because it's a habit. In truth, they come for a much more profound reason, deeper reasons. I think basically we come to the Eucharist, we come to share in the Eucharist, because only in the Eucharist are we alive in the fullness of human life. Only in the Eucharist can we live as we choose to live. Being in Christ is not something that simply happens. Being in Christ is something that needs actions. And the greatest action of human beings is eating and drinking. That's not obviously true. I don't think many people would boast that they're most human when they're eating and drinking. And yet, eating and drinking is what we do most of the time. If we're not doing that, we're spending a great deal of time preparing to eat and drink. We make rituals of our meals, we make our meals ways of sharing our life. Many important decisions are made at meals. And it's easy to think that the meal is a byproduct or something by the side. The real business is what we do during the meal. I don't think that's true. Eating together is fundamental to human life, not because we need to stay alive by eating and drinking, but because eating and drinking are in some way a sign of the life that we seek, the life we were born for. Remember how in Exodus the elders ate and drank on the mountain in the presence of God. Eating and drinking are a sort of presence. Consider the baby. The baby, when it takes milk, whether from the bottle or the mother's breast, somehow seems that it's most peaceful, it's most complete. Babies are, by definition, not peaceful. They make a lot of noise, they fidget, they jump about. When they look around them, they look baffled and puzzled by the strange world in which they find themselves. When they take their milk, they're very quiet and very focused. Something about eating and drinking, which is life itself, receiving, taking in. Even the angels eat and drink in a manner which is different from us, but they eat and drink the presence of God, the knowledge of God, the love of God, they receive. The baby may not seem like a good analogy because the baby merely takes milk, merely receives. But receiving is itself part of the process of giving. Our Lord says it is better to give than to receive. If no one receives, there's no giving. And in fact, our ability to give, our ability to offer to others, is itself something we receive from God. We can only give because God has given to us. We cannot give anything we do not have. What do you have, as Paul says, which you have not received? The Eucharist is eating and drinking. And it's the fullness of eating and drinking. It's the fullness of sharing life. It's the best kind of eating and drinking because it's a sharing of living life, eternal life. And it's a life in which we receive a humanity from Christ. That's a strange thing about the Eucharist, that it's the only sort of food where we can receive human life. It's called, jeeringly, cannibalism. In fact, it's exactly the opposite of cannibalism. We receive living life, resurrected life. To receive that is not to take pieces of old life, of death, and to make death alive. It's to receive life itself. That's why the Eucharist is so powerful. I read a little bit of the scriptures from today, the Gospel. Just the first two lines. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." You notice he says, "I am the true vine." He doesn't say, "I am the vine." Later on he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." This is the passage which is often quoted. But here he says he is the true vine. And elsewhere he says that his flesh and blood are true food and true drink. By true he does not mean they're really food and drink. He means that they are properly food and drink. The way that nothing else is. All food is an analogy for the Eucharist. All food and drink is a metaphor for the Eucharist. The reality is the Eucharist itself. Rather than saying that the Eucharist is a kind of food, we should say that food is a kind of Eucharist, an imperfect, incomplete, and difficult form of Eucharist. We eat and drink and acknowledge death. We have to kill to eat and drink. We have to destroy and then turn into life. And eating and drinking for us is a way of staving off death. In the Eucharist, we live. We simply live. It's not avoiding death anymore. It's not the preservation of the life that we have. It's the taking on of new life, full life. And that's why people come to the Eucharist, whether they know it or not. There was much debate in the 60s about the Eucharist as sacrifice versus the Eucharist as a meal. Many people who call the Eucharist a sacred meal don't seem to realise how demanding that understanding is. If it's a meal, then you must eat, you must receive. We have to eat. If the Eucharist is a meal, then we have to receive. But it's different from ordinary food. If we stop taking ordinary food, we immediately know it. The effects become very apparent. In the short term, they may make us healthier, in fact. Most people eat too much. In the long term, we die. We wither and die. The Eucharist is slightly different from that. Indeed, it's fundamentally different, but in a very subtle way. Without the Eucharist, we would die too. But in the Eucharist, we're receiving something over and above what we need. It's not what we need in the Eucharist. It's what we're given. It is a pure gift. God doesn't give us what we need in the Eucharist, but what he wishes us to have. In the Eucharist, we share food. Just as Christ himself eats at his own Last Supper. He doesn't simply give. As priest, he initiates the process of the Eucharist by offering his body and blood. In that sense, he is giving. But as a human being, he shares. He receives his own food, his own Eucharist. And the true vine is indeed part of us. If you remain in me, my words remain in you, you will ask what you will, and you shall get it. It is to the glory of my Father that you should bear much fruit, then you will be my disciples. The vine, which is Christ, is also us. We are the vine, as Christ is the vine. Christ makes the vine, but we become the vine by being born, by being baptized, by living. In Christ is his church. We cannot understand the church without Christ, but we cannot understand Christ without the church, because Christ is truly, fully human. And to be human is to be part of all humanity. We are part of each other. So when I walk out onto the sanctuary, onto the church itself, I'm simply walking out into my own life, the life I'm sharing. The people who come with me to share are my life, as I am theirs. We are part of each other. We are the vine. Christ makes us a vine. Christ himself is content to be one human being among the many. And to be, strange as it sounds, both the whole of the vine and part of the vine, part of the miracle. We live in Christ. Our life is Christ. Christ lives in us and we live in him. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Reciprocity, those words I can't pronounce, is the basis of all relationships. But to be reciprocal is to be alive. It's always shared. Make your home in me as I make mine in you. You see how it is both ways. We live in each other. And though Christ living in us is the greatest of guests, we live in him. We live together. Walk into the church, walk into the sanctuary, and see yourself, see who you are. We discover who we are in the Eucharist.